Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today's Srimad Bhagavatam class is from the fifth canto, 25th chapter, and the 10th verse or text. Murtim na babhara. Excuse me, I missed a lot. I'm sorry. Puru kripaya babhara sattvam samshudham sat asat idam vibhati tatra yat lilam mrigapati. Adade anavadyam datum tajana manamsi udara virya. Murtim na puru kripaya babhara sattvam. Samshuram sada sadidam vibhati tatra. Yalila mriga patir adade navadyam. Adatam svajana manam sudara virya. Murtim na puru kripaya babhara sattvam. Samshuram sara sadidam vibhati tatra. Yalila mriga patir adade navadyam. Adatam svajana manam sudara. Excuse me. Adatam svajana manam sudara viryam. Murtim napuru kripaya babhara sattvam. Samshudam sara sadidam vibhati tatram. Yalila mriga patir adade navadyam. Adatam svajana manam sudara virya. Let's chant. Ladies. Anyone else? Murtim. Different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Naha. Unto us. Puru Kripaya. Because of great mercy. Babara, exhibited. Satvam, existence. Samshudham, completely transcendental. Sat asat idam, this material manifestation of cause and effect. Vibhati, shines. Tatra, in whom, yat lilam, the pastimes of whom, Mrigapati, the master of all living beings, who is exactly like a lion, the master of all other animals, Adade, taught, Anavadyam, without material contamination. Adatam, to conquer. Svajana manamsi, the minds of his devotees. Udara virya, who is most liberal and powerful. Translation and purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. This manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of causeless mercy toward his devotees, he exhibits various forms, which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and he possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of his devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, he appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. Please repeat. The manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of causeless mercy toward his devotees, he exhibits various forms, which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and he possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of his devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, he appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has translated this verse as follows, quote, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. It is by his will that gross and subtle
ingredients
interact. He appears in various incarnations just to please the hearts of his pure devotees. Unquote. For example, the Supreme Lord appeared in the transcendental incarnation of Lord Varaha, the boar, just to please his devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the what ocean? Yes, the Garbhoduck Ocean. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Before beginning, I'd like to pray for all, for the blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas here and on internet land, so that I may be able to say something useful and beneficial to everyone, including myself, and so that all of us may come away with a deeper and more intense experience of Krishna consciousness. So this verse is very expressly focused upon the idea that the Lord likes to give pleasure to his devotees. That is his tendency, it is his habit, and it is his characteristic to try and please his devotees. And why would he want to do that? Because devotees by nature are always trying to please the Supreme Lord. They try to please the Supreme Lord without any desire for return or even reciprocation or any prize or any material benefit. They try to please the Supreme Lord, as he mentions how he would like to be pleased in the scriptures, with love, with devotion, with dedication, with surrender, with submission, and most importantly, with total appreciation for all he has done for them. This mood of appreciation is very prominent in many of the advanced devotees. Actually, they think themselves very unworthy, very undeserving of all the mercy, all the pleasure that God gives them, which is innermost. In fact, the Lord says to his gopis or his milkmaid devotees that I can never repay the love that you have expressed to me. It is impossible. The expression of your service will have to be your own reward. Because Krishna said, no matter what I give you, no matter how much of that I give you, still I am running in debt to you. That is how much Krishna appreciates the devotees, pure or otherwise. Anyone who tries to serve the Supreme Lord in a small way, in a medium way, in a big way, is recognized by the Lord and is reciprocated by the Lord in greater or lesser degree. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So he's mentioning, as they surrender means to whatever extent they surrender, I will reward that. No one goes empty-handed from devotional service. Everyone is a gainer. Even if a person simply praises the Lord, salutes the Lord, for example, comes to the door of the temple, bows his head to the Lord, that is also devotional service. And that will be rewarded. So the Lord is especially pleased by those devotees who look for no reward, because they feel and experience that the service itself is its own virtue, The service itself is its own reward. The devotee wants nothing more than just to serve the Lord. That's his only interest. That's his only focus. That's his only endeavor. To just please Krishna in every way that he can. And he feels that it is his own reward because Krishna reciprocating in the heart gives the devotee different degrees of transcendental bliss and peace and strength and knowledge and freedom. In a word, transcendental happiness, which cannot be bought in any store. You cannot order it on the internet. If you listen to Srila Prabhupada's talks, you may get something there, if you're devoted, if you're concentrated, but you cannot buy these qualities which arise from within the heart. They are the reciprocation. They are the affection. They are the appreciation of the Supreme Lord for his devotees. He doesn't just leave them with nothing. He makes sure that they are fulfilled. In fact, he often gives the devotee much more than he even deserves. The devotee deserves so much, 5 pounds of devotional service, 5 pounds of love he gives to the Lord, but the Lord gives 100 pounds back. So great a giver is Krishna. When a child offers something beautiful or something nice or good to the parent cannot help but to feel some obligation and pleasure. So the parent tries to reciprocate with the child by giving him something that he likes. He may give him buy him a new toy, buy him a half a pint of ice cream, Breyers, of course. He may give him nice words. He may take him to the park or to the circus or to any one of these different pleasures that children delight in. And that's because the mother or the father is pleased with the child, pleased by the child's obedience, and pleased by the child's desire to please the parent, and pleased by the child's actual example of giving something to the parent. May draw a beautiful picture of the mother and father. True, the picture looks monstrous, has these little stick feet and big fat face. But the parent doesn't mind looking at his face in such a monstrous fashion because the child did it with his love. And if he did it with love, then he deserves a hug. He deserves a kiss on the head. He deserves a swinging around. He deserves to be made pleased. And the parents do that. And of course, when the child is disobedient, when the child talks back to the parents, acts arrogantly, contemptuously, acts as if he is the lord of the parents, since he's been getting everything since he's been born, he might as well feel he's the controller of them. And he may shout and he may scream and stamp on the foot, especially the kids love to do this in the supermarkets when they want to get a little bar of candy, which the parent is adamantly refusing to give them. And he stamps and he screams and he shouts, and everyone in the aisles are looking, what are you doing to your kid? Are you abusing him? Are you not feeding him? And the parent starts to feel a little bit ashamed, a little bit, and the kids continue to scream louder and louder, and everybody's putting their hands over their ear. Shut that kid up, please! So finally the parent may yield and give him the, whatever it is, a Clark bar or a Hershey bar or whatever it is. Finally, but when the kid gets home, may get a little spanking. Because there's nobody looking there. And so the child, when he disobeys, and when he doesn't try to please the parent, he gets punished. He may be docked. He may have to stay in all day, not play with his friends. He may not even be given his toys. In my day, my parents used to make me stand in the corner. And I'd stand there and just looking at the walls. And there was nobody to look at, nobody to talk to. And I hated that. Because all my friends, I could hear them out the window screaming and yelling and applauding and playing ball or jumping up and down or having all kinds of fun. And I wasn't there to do it with them. So I felt that that was a terrible thing. So from those days on, at least when I didn't forget my punishment, I obeyed my parents and tried to please them. When I forgot the punishment and I was again put at the corner and looking at the walls for a half hour, I didn't have to try. I remembered those things. So in the same way, just to extend the analogy a little further, Krishna, when he sees his devotees trying to please him, trying to obey him. To obey means these principles which are in the Bhagavatam, which are in the Bhagavad Gita, which are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When the devotee makes a steadfast and heartfelt effort to please the Lord, he's very pleased by this. And he says in the Bhagavatam, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. And I am always within the core of my devotee's heart. The devotee does not see anything else but me. And I do not see anything else but him. So this is very wonderful. This is very marvelous. That the Lord is seeing everything we do. In spite of the fact that he is in zillions and zillions of hearts. But he sees what we do. And if it is done with love and devotion and affection and dedication, he rewards the devotee with his own transcendental holy presence. And what more could a devotee desire than this? Although the devotee doesn't even desire to be blissful. Although there is no sin in desiring that, but that is not a pure form of service. A pure form of service is that what I am being allowed to do, to serve you, to be devoted to you, to glorify you, to sing about you, to praise you, to bow down to you, to worship you. All this is my reward already. I don't need anything more, Lord. You don't have to give me bliss because I'm already blissful just doing what I'm doing. You don't have to give me peace because I'm already peaceful. You don't have to give me any strength. I'm already feeling strength. You're giving me everything already. So, just let me do service. A very good example of this was Daruka, who is the charioteer, as we all know, of Krishna. So, he loved to serve Krishna. He served in the servant mentality. And he served Krishna, and one day while Krishna was in the chariot and he was just sitting there, Daruka picked up a peacock fan and began to fan Krishna. And he was fanning him. And he was already enjoying just the process, just the act, just the endeavor to fan the Lord. Oh, wow, what a great position I am in. No one in all the world could have such a position. I'm standing right next to the Lord of the universe and I'm fanning him. And what mercy, what greatness, what a tremendous benediction I am receiving at this very moment. And he's thinking like that while he's fanning the Lord. And his hand is trembling and the ecstasy is growing. He's perspiring. His lips are moving up and down. He's trembling. The whole body is starting to tremble. And tears start to run down his cheeks. And after a while, he can't hold the fan. It's just quivering, shaking like this. And he says, Lord, please stop it. He says, I want to do my service. I want to express my love to you and you're preventing me by giving me all this transcendental bliss. I don't need that. I am satisfied just by serving your lotus feet, just by looking at your beautiful lotus-like eyes, just by looking at your wonderful smile as I fan you. That's enough. You've given me everything. My cup runneth over. So, cool it. Hold it. Just let me do my service. So this is the mood of a pure devotee. And we can see that because he has this marvelous, surrendered servant mentality,
that he is fully satisfied. He's not hankering. The only time he would lament is if he's separated from the service. Because the service has become his life and soul. And he appreciates it. He holds it or cherishes it to his heart. He feels there is no greater gain in this world. As Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer your obeisances. Worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So that's his motto. That's his focus. That's his fixation. That's his obsession. To simply and only serve the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength, and with all his love. This is enough for Daruka. And it is enough for each and every one of us who are striving to become pure devotees. When Krishna sees that we're not looking for any return, we're not concerned whether we get good health, we're not concerned about whether we have enough money, we fully trust that Krishna, if we are genuinely, sincerely devoted to him, will take care of these things. But sometimes Krishna may deny us. Sometimes he may stop giving us what we have been used to receiving, such as this transcendental bliss, or it may even be food, it may be clothing, it may be shelter, we may become even homeless. Anything is possible. Because Krishna also, sometimes, Krishna will test the devotee. Testing means, does he love me for what I give him? Or does he love me because he just feels that there was no one greater or bigger or more beautiful or more lovable or more enchanting or more fulfilling than me? Does he have a pure motive? Or does he have a mixed motive? Half personal, wants something for himself, and half devotional or pure, and that he wants nothing for himself. So Krishna sometimes tests us and gives us a disorder, gives us a disease, gives us some trouble, gives us some difficulty, throws monkey wrenches into our service. And then he sees the way we are dealing with these situations. And if we deal with them in a manner which is completely Krishna conscious, the Lord sees that, yes, this person truly, really loves me. No matter what trials and tribulations and problems come to him, he stays or she stays Krishna conscious. His love never wavers. It is undeviating. It is unstoppable. And he is unaffected, undisturbed by any of these trials and tribulations that I give him. In the Bible, there was a very wonderful story illustrating this. We're all familiar with the story of Job. He was given every possible calamity that one can ever imagine. But he stayed true. In fact, there was a big bet going on between God and the devil or Maya or whatever, that the devil could definitely get him to give up his devotional love. So Job, he passed all the tests. He never gave up his love for the Lord. And he got rashes all over his body. Persons died. All kinds of calamities beset him. But he never gave up his love for the Lord. In fact, it increased. As we know in our wonderful Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti, she prayed. She said, let these calamities come. For by these calamities, I was always thinking of you. I was always remembering you. I was always depending upon you. And always hoping. So there was never a moment when I was not thinking of you. And she says, when I'm in this palace here, there are so many distractions. And everything is so comfortable. Everything is so pleasing. Everyone comes to fan me and praise me and glorify me. I can't think of you. I'm thinking of myself because they're all encouraging me to think of how wonderful and great and glorious I am. So in the forest when we were just out there without any friends, without the kingdom, with wild animals all around us, tigers and lions and boars, what could I do? They had this little deity. I should just pray. Pray to the Lord. Please protect my sons from any injury. Please protect me from any injury. May my sons become the conquerors they deserve to be. The king, may Yudhishthira become the king that he should be. Despite this horrible plight that his cousin Duryodhana has thrown us into. So the Lord, in so many different ways, pleases his devotees. And as Krishna says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am a friend to him. So, although it may appear, although Krishna is saying that he's equal to everyone, but he doesn't express himself equally. And it wouldn't be fair either. If you do nothing in devotional service, if you try not to express love to Krishna through any one of the nine forms of devotional service, then you're not worthy of receiving his special mercy in the expression of those wonderful qualities that I spoke of inner peace and inner joy and inner strength, which enable us to ride over the waves of material affliction. When those waves come, if we are Krishna conscious, we ride over them like the surfers, and we enjoy the frolic or the play. But if we are not devoted, and if we care more for ourselves than for serving Krishna, then what happens is that the wave comes and slams us, sinks us, submerges us. And all we can do is, the water as it goes into our throats. So Krishna expresses himself according, as he says, to the love and devotion that his devotees give to him. And he is pleased to do so. And there is no greater security, no greater peace, no greater strength, no greater love, no greater happiness. He has it all, and he is eager to give it all to us. That is his desire, because his nature is giving. His nature is munificence, and we saw this so clearly, so graphically in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave out the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And Srila Prabhupada gave us Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without whose mercy we would not even know the name. They give and give and give and never even feel they're giving anything. Because there's so much delight in that kind of giving, where one does not care even for reciprocation, because the giving itself is the getting. The giving is the getting. Not the giving is I will get, but the giving is, I am getting. And that's what's so beautiful about this. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave out the holy name to everyone, whether they were intellectual, whether they were dummies, whether they were rich, they were poor, whether they were low class, untouchables, whether they were high class Brahmins. He gave it to everyone irrespective of their designations in society. And that is what real, true abiding mercy is. And we have had the benefit, we have had the opportunity to read about this, to study it, and to try in our humble way to emulate this behavior. And we have seen such wonderful examples over the last few days in Krishna's appearance day. So much wonderful service went on. So many people had the feast late at night, and then the next day at Srila Prabhupada's Vyasadeva, such wonderful cooking. And everyone, I looked at so many faces that were in the prasadam room, everyone was happy. And that is what Krishna wants of all of us, to be happy. And He gives it to us in the form of foodstuffs. He gives it in the form of music. He gives it in the form of the deities. He gives it in the form of a kind word from another devotee who may say, "How are you? How are you feeling? Did you get over your whatever it was?" We should not just take these things for granted. We should cherish them. When a devotee says, "How are you feeling? How are your practices going? Are you chanting with intense?" When somebody does that, don't take it as just some common, ordinary, just trying to put on a show words. That is Krishna speaking through them, and He is trying to He is blessing you. And if you cherish it, and treasure it, and hold it dear to your heart. And when you leave that devotee who's just made you feel so good, and you say, "Thank you, Krishna, you're so kind, I don't deserve this, I've committed so many sins, so many offenses, I'm such a rascal, but in spite of this, you never forget my good works, which are so small and limited. Oh my Lord, I can never repay you for this mercy, but thank you, keep giving it to me, because I really need it." So this is the mood, this is the position of the devotee, trying to, in some manner, in some form, please the Lord, just as it's the verse says and the purport says, the Lord is always eager to please His devotees. So let us all, today and all days, dig into our devotional service. Let us remember the Lord while we serve. As Krishna says, "Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time, perform your prescribed duty of fighting, with your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt." So in this mood, those of you who are cooking, whether it's breakfast, lunch, whatever, the Mahaprasadam, those of you who are sewing, those of you who will be dressing the deities, those who will be leading the kirtans, fill the whole heart with with such an abundance of affection for Krishna. "My Lord, please enable me to sing in such a way that you will be pleased." Because you are the master singer. When you sing, the whole world perks up its ears. Well, when I sing, what is my singing next to yours? But if you will please inject my voice with your sweetness, then the singing will be perfect. And if the singing is perfect, then the devotees will become even more perfect by listening to your perfect song manifesting through me. So please, I beg you, manifest through me and help me to be a better instrument of your love. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions or comments that anyone would like to make? None? Well, thank you. Hare Krishna.